the 59th episode of Does Your Favorite Movie Suck? Where we revisit great movies from the 80s and 90s that actually might suck. My name is Kalen Egan.
My name is Travis Sintel.
You remember last time I did this? Dallas, my son, is in the room. And last time I did this, he cried because it was so jarring, this personality that's on the show. And this time he didn't, and I feel like that's progress.
Well, that's because you were doing that's the real you marker weren't doing, of time. It wasn't like you were doing a schizophrenic weirdo. You were doing like a smooth, silky DJ.
All right, let me try something else then. Right. Everyone quiet for
a second. Don't make your son cry.
Let
it's
me just
weird.
See what happens.
Not on air.
Welcome to the 59th episode.
He's sobbing.
He's fine. Look, he can handle it. He gets it. He gets the many moods of
he's
his father.
He's obsessed by this lemon flaming hot Cheetos.
Yeah, don't give him one of those. Also in the studio, in the basement studio, maybe the reason I'm being so silky smooth is because of this silky smooth guest, Sean Raufi.
You shouldn't have. There's well, no, I'm not that silky.
You're welcome pretty to the guest. Listen to you. Listen to how you just said, really I'm not good. That silky. In the silkiest way possible.
I'm not going
to
deny smooth, but silky. Yeah.
That's a silky goddamn. Travis, you're weird. Wearing headphones. How silky is that voice?
It's like an ear massage. It's great. It really is. You're inside my head now, and I love it.
I've been told numerous phone calls. I can't tell if you're a man or a woman. So they just go with ma'am.
Yeah. What? Yeah. On that voice?
I get ma'am a lot.
Did I tell you?
But you know what? That's cool because it has nothing to do with the pitch. It's just the goddamn silky smooth nature.
Did I tell you what happened to me recently, Kalen? I think I may have said it on the podcast, but someone called and it was like, oh, hello, ma'am. And I went, yeah. And they went, man. Hey, man, I swear to God, just pivoted on the moment.
Oh, was it Jimmy Gomez for Congress?
Oh, they need
he
to
will
stop,
not
stop calling,
calling
me.
that little insider, local humor for you, LA.
Yeah, I hate it. I'm sick of Jimmy Gomez.
Sean, you don't know what movie we're watching today,
which
is very exciting.
My fingers are crossed it's
you've
any,
asked,
anyone from the list.
You've
you're in luck.
Good news. You've asked for a Jim Carrey, which we've talked a lot about. We've been waiting for a good Jim Carrey movie. You've asked for, you've hoped for a Michael Bay from the 90s.
It was John Woo's Face Off.
Well, you also said The Rock, though.
Oh, yeah, and The Rock.
When it's time to give hints, can I give the first one?
No, it's not time yet.
I know. When
but
it's
when
time.
We get there, you can, yeah. You,
that's
you
all
can
I'm asking. I'm putting a flag in the
ground. But before we get to the movie,
okay.
Here's why it's exciting to be here. First of all, as with a few of our guests in the past, Sean and I are college friends, met freshman year at UC Santa Cruz. Again, on that crazy film hall where so many things went down. And it was great. We've stayed close ever since, although he lives in New York. And so it's a rare privilege that he would actually be here. But the thing that I'm most excited about to have you on is Sean's heard every fucking episode of this show. Every single one.
More than once.
That's more than once!
Weird.
There's no
Sean,
listener
that's
on
weird.
Earth. Who's heard more of this show
yeah,
than Sean.
But that's weird. Can we just be honest that that's weird? I need you to defend yourself, Sean.
No,
that's weird.
I feel like there's no defense needed. Anyone listening to this right now enjoys you guys as much as I do.
That's true.
I mean,
if they're 59 deep, they're in.
All 10 of us really
love. Yeah. I think my mom tapped out 40 episodes ago. She doesn't even laugh.
But what I wanted to ask is, how we doing? For those of us who are still here, give me a critique.
That's good.
Because we haven't had any live feedback before, and we went a little off the rails a few episodes ago. We didn't even talk about that.
I want to say your off the rails moment was after Trump.
Yeah.
You guys
struck a low point where there wasn't the hopeful kind of, oh my God, is that a Batman?
Dallas giving you a Batman.
Dallas handed me a Batman.
Speaking of the 90s.
That low moment really, like when you guys couldn't get excited about the thing, it was just
that's what I was just going to say.
What
I remember that.
Happened here? Because one, I know how much you love the thing.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I don't know how much you love the thing, Travis, but
I was in a dark place.
We were all in a very dark place.
And that was kind of this, like, you know, you were seeing into your world more than on previous episodes. And
are you saying we haven't recovered since the election?
That's where
no,
we're
you guys,
sounds like
you guys. You guys are trying to. I'm just diagnosing where the lowest point in the show was. Oh, it was after Trump. You don't get lower than that. So you know,
we've never gone lower than the Trump episode.
Well, no, the
but
Trump
that's our country, baby.
Okay, but the Trump episode for me, the thing
the
is
Trump episode.
Yeah, the thing is so fun.
Yeah,
John Carpenter, so fun and. you know, you guys weren't there, and right. It was like...
No, we read it as depressed.
Well, no,
because
you read
we
it,
were feeling depressed.
I felt bad that episode.
I know, but to see that, you know, kind of gloom, you know, you made it present in previous episodes, or, you know...
Yeah.
The drunk episode that you guys are talking about, which, you know... You guys were just a little bit more honorary.
Sean,
than
that
I,
fucking
I'm used
ruled.
To.
That fucking ruled.
Have you said how much you like that episode on air?
No, I've literally.
Travis
I've
is
since,
a huge fan.
Listen, here's what happened. I was not going to listen to that episode because I was like, fuck it, I lived it. It was 3 hours of my life. More than that,
more
like
than
12
three.
Hours of my life. And then we started getting some negative feedback on the internet about it from some of my friends. And I listened to it and I thought it fucking rules. Yeah. You guys are crazy.
See, once you guys got to Blues Brothers... I feel like, you know, the car jumped over the other 50 cars.
We flipped,
you know,
over the overpass. I get it.
Yeah. There was, you know, you guys.
Wait, do you think our disagreements about Tales from the Hood were unprincipled or unintelligent or unintelligible?
What I was more surprised by was why you couldn't understand why Kalen liked it. Because that, you know. Having seen that movie, it was like, yeah, Kalen's gonna love this.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, he got it. Yeah, I actually listened to it too, and I thought it was. I mean, this is a really weird way to spend the beginning of this episode, but for that episode in particular, I listened to it, and I was not less confident in my beliefs.
Yeah.
And when I listened to it, but I was like, I sound a little bit like a lunatic. So
no,
I felt a little sensitive about it.
I want to be clear. I totally understand why he likes it, but I just think he's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wondered if I was wrong listening back. That's where I was at. Hi.
With that was a movie where it was just like, I don't know if that movie's good anymore. And so,
had you seen it?
I had seen it.
You'd seen it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
I probably
How
saw
did you
it with
feel
Kalen
when...
in college.
No, I never saw it. I never
You've
saw
never
it.
Seen
it? I've never seen it. Anyway, a movie I have seen many times is today's episode. Give Sean a clue, Travis.
We're gonna circle in. If this doesn't give it to you, then we'll work in.
Okay.
I think it's extraordinarily appropriate that there's three of us to do this episode. That's my first clue.
That clue sucks.
No, it's good. It's broad. We're going to work our way into it.
Oh, my God.
Now let's see if you can
think
do it.
Think of movies that have 3-plus people in them.
I know.
No, that's not it.
Jules and Jim
it's
is the only one coming to mind.
I'm just saying.
It can't be one of them.
Jules and Jim.
Sean, I'm just saying if we all went around and said the name of the movie, it would be an exciting moment. So that's your clue.
Oh.
Kalen. Make me condense the clue into something more tangible. I bet he gets it from this.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you, Kalen.
Now,
Beetlejuice.
Yeah!
Nice job. Nice job.
Good job, everybody. Nice work.
Oh, Lily's here too, and she's doing a lot of facial expression. What's up?
Did you know this before?
No, he just guessed
it. No, I just guessed it because he gave a pretty obvious clue.
He gave a blatant clue.
That was mocked for being too obscure at first.
And then it got too obvious.
Oh, well, yeah. Fuck you guys.
Had I not guessed that,
you guys
should have kicked me off the podcast.
How
do you feel
about
Beetlejuice?
I am elated. I believe this is your first Tim Burton.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's
we talked. It's weird because we've talked so much about Tim Burton because there's so many movies in the 90s were defined by Batman. Like, we just did a movie that you don't know about yet, Sean, but we just did Super Mario Brothers. We've done Dick Tracy. And they're nothing if not shadows of Batman. That's there's a whole massive genre of movie. And this is the movie, I guess, that led up to Batman. This is what got him the job.
It's great.
It's awesome.
Can't wait.
And I'm excited about it.
I'm so excited it's Beetlejuice. This is maybe cooler than The Rock.
Yes.
Whoa, you heard it here. What an endorsement. Sean, when's the last time you saw Beetlejuice?
I want to 7 years ago.
Bunch of years
ago. It's been a while.
That's a precise number.
I would say I saw it enough times to be familiar with it. But yeah, I've seen it recently.
If I was going to guess when I saw it,
7.
I'd also say 7.
Is that just because it's a randomly
Maybe
round
I'd say
number?
5. Because Lily, we watched it together, yeah?
Yeah.
We watched Beetlejuice. I watched Beetlejuice, so I must have seen it in the last 7 years.
I've seen it not that recently.
What's your memory? Well, let's go to you. What's your memory of it?
I have I want to say around college is probably when I saw it for the first time. I think I've only seen it maybe twice. I know I've caught parts of it on TV. As
I would have bet you'd seen this 10 times.
It seems like a movie I would have seen a bunch. I totally agree with you. I just haven't.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was just one of those things. I wasn't in a big rewatch phase at that time, I don't think.
Right.
So I know I've caught parts of it countless times. It's been on, you know, whatever, TBS and stuff occasionally. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen parts of it on that.
Oh, it's all flooding back. It's all flooding back. I'm getting tingles.
Sean is floating off his chair over here, which is really good.
Yeah.
I have fond memories. I don't have anything specific to say. I remember being very, very good and fun and sort of wacky in that specific time period way.
I would ask that we look at, because it's a question that I can't answer right now, and it may be that 80s thing where there is no real answer, but who's it for? Is this a movie for kids, or is this a movie for grown-ups?
Tim Burton's an interesting question in that in general, so I'm excited to sort of dive into his oeuvre.
Because it's got jokes about, like, whores in it, like prostitute jokes.
Mario Brothers has a strip club scene. Do you remember that, Sean?
We're having trouble getting over Super Mario.
I want to say the weird Goomba things were so disturbing that I might have...
He gets it.
No, you get it.
I saw that movie. I hated that.
Yeah, we just talked about that, dude. We talked about so much how terrifying that is.
Loved it.
Yeah. When I saw that movie, I think the power went out, and I didn't stay to
finish. No. Well, you don't know how it ends? It ends in a crazy... It wraps up everything. It explains the whole film.
Yes, it justifies itself in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's got a great ending. Totally lands. That film totally lands.
Well, I'm very excited you're here, Sean. I think we... I was going to go... Let's go.
I know,
but
I had one other question. Do either of you remember the first time you saw Beetlejuice? That's my question. And what that experience might have been like.
You know what? My answer to that is Dallas is just pointing at Sean and screeching. What does that mean?
He recognizes
he's
silky
saying
smooth.
Silky smooth.
Silky smooth.
When I was a kid and I was renting all those comedies, like when I rented Blues Brothers, when I rented all the
Candies. Taking it all off.
No, before that, taking it all off, I rented it and it was the first time I can remember two things. One was in Who's Harry Crumb. This is the same thing.
Awesome.
In Who's Harry Crumb, there's a scene where John Candy's fake beard falls onto a naked woman who's slathered in mud and it lands on her crotch.
Yeah.
And the gag is it looks like
a merkin.
Well, sure, but it looks like pubic hair. And as a kid, I was like, oh my. I was really shocked that this would be in a movie. And in Beetlejuice, there is a part controversially cut from certain video releases where Beetlejuice knocks over a tree and he goes, great fucking model, and grabs his crotch. And as a kid, I was like, whoa, that was inappropriate. And then they cut it from other video releases.
You said that and Dallas growled at you.
He was doing great fucking model. Oh. Great fucking model!
No, he's not interested in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Sean, do you remember your first time seeing it? Any scandalous bits? I almost certainly did not see it till after 18, the way my family worked.
I knew I saw it as a kid because I loved Michael Keaton. From Batman and...
Yeah.
Winona Ryder and...
I certainly saw it post-Batman, which is interesting. Because I didn't have the experience of, wait, Beetlejuice is going to be Batman? Which I know was profound for a lot of people. Or freaky.
Yeah, I saw it once it had been established in the culture. It wasn't like a new thing.
Right, me too.
I saw it. Well, should we watch it? Oh. I expect we're all going to enjoy it.
Who wouldn't?
We'll be right back.
We just want to get some people out of our house.
Ah, I understand. Well, look, in order to do that, I'm really going to have to get to know you guys. You know, we got to get closer, move in with you for a while, get to be real pals. You know what I'm saying? And save that guy for later. Huh?
My wife and I would like to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure. Go ahead, shoot.
Well, for instance, what are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it! Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy! Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified?
What I mean is, can you be scary?
Oh, I know what you're asking me. Can I be scary? What do you think of this? You like it?
We're back from, We're back from the party.
We're in the party.
Oh,
we watched Beetlejuice.
My goodness.
We've got a little audience here. One old friend of ours, Matt Robison, is going to be sitting in, although he's promised not to say a word. So you won't even know he's here. And shut up, Matt!
I love Beetlejuice.
That was Matt. He sounds ridiculous. God, Matt's voice is so stupid.
Sean's late. Do you want to introduce your lady?
Yeah, this is Greta Hansen.
She's here too.
Yep, there she is. She only speaks.
We're playing a lot of
that. Also sounded like Travis.
All right. Well, the three of us are going to carry this conversation forward. If you guys will have anything to add, please feel free. There are no rules on this podcast.
We're going to get tweets about all the formatting.
There are very much no rules to this podcast.
There's no rules.
I'm trying hard to maintain the format this time. So send your angry tweets to Kaylin.
What do you guys? What did you think of this movie, Sean?
I loved it, and I was trying to think, when you guys first mentioned Beetlejuice, I was kind of like, wah. It's like, what's not to love about this movie that loves just making jokes? And even the low-energy jokes, there's still a joke there. Like, every frame, like...
Yeah. Well, let me challenge your definition of the word joke. Because there are things, there are ideas... but I was
not all of them
were
funny.
Laugh riot. Yeah, like I wouldn't even call them jokes. They're just sort of like
gags.
Gags is perfect. Okay. They're creative gags. And I'm gonna go ahead. Travis, what do you think? What do you go for?
You want to have Sean do the plot real quick, and then
I want to know what you think first. What do you think of the movie?
It's really fun. I miss. There wasn't a lot of filmmakers doing what Tim Burton was doing around this time. Pee Wee's Big Adventure and this movie are just so fucking consistent tonally and full of fun. It's slower than I remember it being.
Mm-hmm.
That the thing doesn't move the way I thought it did. So
let me go a little fucking challenging then. I'm going to call it boring. It's mostly boring.
I wasn't bored. I'll be honest
with you. I found it pretty boring. And what was good about it is all down to the world meets Tim Burton. That's mm-hmm. all I cared about.
That's
watching
what I
this
kept
movie.
Thinking about. I would say if this movie was 20 minutes shorter, I would have liked it better. Right. I don't think it was boring. I think it was slow, which is like the next step up from boring.
It has, I guess what I mean particularly is it has no story. It has some ideas. It has some people who just kind of bounce around the walls. And then finally in the ending, it gets great because it's just an explosion of creativity. Mm-hmm. But... it's the kind of movie that, to me, I think this movie benefits from knowing that Tim Burton became a really important guy.
Sure.
This movie would suck if this guy went nowhere.
It wouldn't suck. I don't think it would suck. Yeah. I think it would be okay.
I think it would kind of suck.
I get why you say that. I don't think it would. I like things, as we've learned on this podcast, that are totally consistent and have their thing that they're doing. And I'm quite happy to exist in that world and be in this goofy sort of space and let these people do it, you know?
Yeah.
Sean, where are you at?
What's the story?
Well, it's weird because there's a conceit in the movie which is all about the handbook. They mention the handbook more times than the name Beetlejuice. And they say the name Beetlejuice a million times.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's so weird.
Well, what is... this is a question that will lead into naturally a plot. Mm-hmm. You know, you were recounting the story, the plot of the movie. But what would you say the story of this movie is? What is the story?
I was trying to struggle with, like, understand, you know, just... All right, obviously these two people die. Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis. They own the hardware store in town. Their favorite locals. Their sister, nephew, niece, something, is trying to sell their house to some rich New Yorkers. They die. The house is sold to the rich New Yorkers. They renovate the house in the craziest ways possible, which is a very fun transformation of the house.
True.
I love it. And... you know, their attempts to get them to leave only ensnare them into what is a crazier plot of wanting to exploit these ghosts for profit and exploit the town into a little ghost farm, which even becomes an even crazier plot point because they need to pull in Beetlejuice.
Would you have told that story the same way?
Nope.
I
bet you would have done it differently, too.
Yeah, I agree. And you did a great job,
that
Sean.
That was great. I'm not
By the
saying
way,
it was bad. I just would have done it.
Real fast, Sean has been... Every time we forget to synopsize a movie, I get shit from Sean.
Oh,
he texts me and says, where's my synopsis?
Interesting, Sean.
Every time.
He actually did
a great job, you totally justified in calling us assholes for not doing it.
No, you guys would talk about movies, which is like, I don't think I've seen that one, or I don't really remember it. And it's just like, well... You just told me not to watch it. It's like, leave on the shelf.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it's about.
I don't even know what I'm missing.
Yeah, recently we've been doing a better job.
No, yeah.
But that was course corrected. Yeah. But that story is like, it, you just described it as a story about people who want strangers out of their house, and then the financial exploitation of a small town. Fascinating. Because that, like, guess who's, and then you finally, in the end, you were like, and then a crazier thing happens, which is they meet this guy named Beetlejuice. The fucking movie's called Beetlejuice. Like, he's barely in it. He doesn't show up. They sort of concede to tip their hat toward a guy is coming, and his name is sort of Beetlejuice, for 45 minutes. And then he shows up. And then he's like barely in the movie.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd want a lot more of him, though. I feel like it was the right amount of Beetlejuice.
I'm so happy he's not the protagonist.
Yeah, that movie doesn't sustain much more of that, I don't think.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I loved every second he was
Same.
On the screen.
Yeah. But I wouldn't have wanted much
but
more
But it was
seconds.
The only time in the movie... I'm sounding more down on Beetlejuice than I mean to be, but maybe for the sake of conversation I'll sort of play this character.
Yeah, let's fight.
But there's some cool design stuff. Winona Ryder's pretty good. It's fun to watch Catherine O'Hara. But those are small elements in something that I think is pretty dull and flat, except for when Beetlejuice is on screen.
I would say this. I would say I'm in sort of inevitably tinged by watching Super Mario Brothers. Sean, you haven't had this experience recently, and God bless you for not having had it. But to watch creativity that's just misdirected and confused and scattershotted all over the place like a big puddle of vomit, when you see a movie that's directed at least tonally and creativity that's like thrown into a target, like a contained area, it feels very nice to me.
Yeah, well, it's not mind-numbing like Super Mario. But
Well, no, it's a directed creativity.
Yeah, it's good, well-directed, and it's got incredibly good ideas, visual ideas.
One point you often make about movies in this vein is, like, they don't follow their own rules. And I feel this movie, which, I mean, what are the rules? They can literally do anything as long as it's Beetlejuice doing it. Like, you know, anything that can exist supernaturally... can happen, and the movie likes these rules, and it keeps making this handbook joke, which I'm just going to keep bringing up because the movie should have been called The Handbook for the Dead.
I wonder. It's almost. I would believe it if someone said it was written as a movie called Handbook for the Dead or whatever.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
that's kind of more along the lines of how I would have pitched the plot.
Right,
is a couple. Recently deceased couple copes with their
death. Were just talking about Men in Black too, where this movie actually follows the same basic structure, which is you spend half the movie introducing the idea of the movie, and then it rockets through a plot. What's so fucking funny?
Yeah, Matt.
Oh, Fred and I just exchanged a look like we can't believe we're here.
Who's having fun? Who's having fun? There it is.
But yeah, sort of. So it's like, but this movie doesn't have the joy of invention and speed that Men in Black has. There are a lot of scenes in the first half of Beetlejuice where Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis are bored.
Yeah.
they're like sitting around bored, waiting for something to happen.
Their exciting vacation is wallpapering the house and like refinishing a table.
I was fascinated by how dumb they are. Like the movie, it's the point of the movie. It's like, these are very dumb people.
He misreads the title of the handbook.
It's the best joke in the movie, honestly.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, they're
Handbook for the Disease.
I mean, they make them stupid on purpose.
Yeah, I know they do, but it's interesting.
I was sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, they don't drive the story in any way.
No, not at all. I was actually surprised because even 5 minutes in, I thought, well, the first act break is Beetlejuice coming in, almost certainly. Right. And then when Beetlejuice comes in, Kalen goes, how far into the movie are we? And it's an hour and a half movie, and I said 30 minutes. He's like, nope, 45.
Yeah. So it was moving quick
for you. It's padded. Well, no, it felt long, but I just thought, well, this 30 minutes is really dragging. Well, because why would you have that as your midpoint? It's just a weird idea.
He's introduced earlier.
Yeah,
like he's flipping through the pages. And...
Exactly. You see an over-the-shoulder shot of him going like, what's going on in here?
Yeah, but you have no idea what that is on the first view. Like, you're like, I don't know, some weird dude is reading a paper. Cool, I guess. And has weird old man hands. Cool. This means something.
And then you see him again in the commercial, which is very funny, where he's doing a sort of a car salesman rodeo thing.
Yeah.
Everything with Michael Keaton, I think, is great.
No, I agree.
I like the movie. I mean, like that's the to be honest, I do like it. I do think it's cool. And I really liked watching it, thinking about, wow, it's weird to see Tim Burton take an assignment. Like, it felt like a script that was like kicking around, and Tim Burton's like, yeah, I'll take that one, and then he just Burtons it up for basically every chance he gets, and he sort of designs it to the hilt. you know, in ways that don't have anything to do with a story, which is what he's good at.
I like that so much. Me too. Though. I just really like it, and I.
But it's weird. Didn't you find it weird to see this movie behaving like a bad movie, like a normal bad movie?
Yeah, and then Tim Burton shows up and
does some crazy shit.
Yeah, but that the joy of that was enough for me to feel invested and interested, and I also liked how low budget it feels. I like watching him struggle with his budget to make effects that still feel interesting. It's great.
Yeah, that's cool
to me. Like, I really, and maybe, listen, you know, talking through it, maybe I enjoyed it for the wrong reasons this time around, but I enjoyed watching someone make a thing that was important to them that felt consistent and cohesive.
Well, important to them. How do you define that?
I just think he tried really hard. Like, anytime you see someone really give it their all and do their best with something, it's interesting, especially if it's someone who's talented and creative.
Yeah.
And I just think there's a guy really fucking trying to do something cool here.
I totally.
And that's great to me.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure, if Pee-wee's Big Adventure didn't exist, I probably even in retrospect would like Beetlejuice more than I do. But that movie, which is driven by these two geniuses, you know, has so much more going on in it and is so much more entertaining to me than this, that it's like this one, it feels like Tim Burton took an assignment. And yeah, you're right. I think that what I would have expected you to say, what I would say, is that he took it and knocked it out of the park as a resume builder. Mm-hmm. He's just like, look what I can do with this dumb thing, like that I'll sort of pour myself into in certain avenues. Obviously, there's a gothic appeal, you know, where he's like, I could do all these German expressionist angles and set designs whenever I get the chance. But like his heart is in it. I'm not sure his emotions are in it. And then when he takes Batman and then he moves on to Edward Scissorhands, it's like then he finally gets to do what he wants to do. And eventually Tim Burton kind of burnt out for me, I think, for a lot of people, and he got a little bit older, wasn't as hungry. But this movie feels like, you know, the kind of assignment somebody takes and then proves themselves.
He's trying to make something of every moment. There's crazy ideas in this that could be so stupid. Like some of the sandworm stuff and all that, that could be really dumb. I got
a question. Is that Dune reference? Are those specifically Dune references? Well,
Beetlejuice says it's from Saturn.
Saturn, right, Saturn.
And then one of the jokes I'd never noticed before is Gina Davis is covered in sand and she's like, I'm like yellow.
Yeah. Oh.
which is another them being stupid joke.
Yeah, sure.
She has sand on her.
But I figured it was like some sort of afterlife sauce.
Just a dumb joke.
What I liked and what I wanted more of is if you're going to introduce sandworms from Venus, I loved it in the end when she rides the sandworm back and it eats Beetlejuice.
It's awesome.
They've established that it's on Venus.
It's
and
awesome.
She just rides it into the house and eats him. I loved it. I want more of that.
It's same. That's the stuff I love. It's complete chaos.
Yeah.
But contained in a way that feels okay.
But there was a cue. She smacks it earlier in the movie. Same like there's the dog that they see going to the hardware, you know, going to his hardware store, and then the same dog.
Did you use the phrase "smacks the worm" on our podcast, bro? We got to talk about some shit, Sean.
On this, I mean,
well, she set up, guys. She did smack the worm earlier in the film.
Sean, right in the nose.
Fucking marinated it, baby.
Right in the nose.
Yeah,
but to one point, I feel like tonally, like he maintains it a comedy. Like when she's writing her suicide note. Which, you know, as a kid,
that's true.
I never read as funny. As an adult, like, one of the funniest scenes in the movie. Like, her tearing it up. Like, I was just like, oh, no, what's happening to her?
Yeah.
And as an adult, like, watching it, it's just like, this is so funny.
It's a good point. Like, he's really clear on what he's doing.
But it's cavalier funny. I mean, it's cheap. It's, I mean, not cheap because it is funny, but it's like, from what you would, what I know Tim Burton to become is somebody who invests very deeply emotionally. He, you know, Edward Scissorhands is this sort of deep rivers of pain and, you know, anxiety, childhood anxiety that sort of carried into adulthood and stuff. And it was interesting to me to see him do a scene where he makes fun of suicide.
Tell me if you disagree. It felt to me like a short pre-production, sort of low budgety situation where I just felt like the energy of someone cobbling ideas together and trying stuff and not necessarily going for a revision or a second option on it, but just like throwing a lot of creativity at it.
Yeah.
And some of it feels sloppy and slapdash in a way that you usually sort of defend, but I sort of find myself defending it in this one, is that Edward Scissorhands is polished and clearly thought through and sort of a more perfect gem in certain ways. This is sloppy and has crazy rough edges, but I liked that about it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I just think that the rough edges I'm just repeating
myself. Why do you hate
the rough edges were just sort of dumb and dull. Like they felt too much like a normal movie. Like I was surprised at the parts in this movie which I wasn't responding to. I wasn't responding to because they felt trapped in somebody's bad screenplay that mm-hmm. like he had to make. And I was like, ugh, like eye roll. Like, I know what this is. It's all enlivened by the fact that he's cast these people, especially because they're charming from other things. You know, like I like Jeffrey Jones in this movie, but I like him in a lot of other stuff too. And mm-hmm. I love Catherine O'Hara in this movie, but I love her in everything she's ever done. So it makes it really easy to watch.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that, but really like sitting in it and trying to engage with the story or whatever, it's like, it's not really there for you. There's nothing there.
Well, it's hard to, you know, even identify with, you know, Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis. Like, you know, they want to really not even exist. Like, were they existing before they died? Like, it felt like the afterlife anyway, which is this weird point. You know, even your first shot of the movie, like, you know, the town blending into the model, like, they're just observing.
Well, I thought that, yeah, that's true.
And then and he can go into his own store and, like, you know, maybe have an interaction with somebody.
Well,
like,
and Tim Burton is, I mean, I don't know that this comes down to Tim Burton, but these are characters that he would usually dismiss very quickly or like ignore because they're not what he's interested in. I thought it was so funny to watch the first 20 minutes of this movie where they're behaving like they're in some shitty average romantic comedy movie. Like there's that scene, which is a fine scene and they're playing it nicely, where they keep, the phone is ringing, they keep pulling each other back into the chair. And I was like, this isn't a Tim Burton movie? Like it's so weird.
No, yeah. But it's Tim Burton's version of how a couple might act.
I guess so.
You know, like that guy's such a weirdo. Like him and Elena Bonham Carter never ever did anything like that.
Can you imagine that?
It'd be hysterical.
They're cute.
Yeah, it's never happened. You know. Also, I was surprised how much Alec Baldwin looked like a young Nicolas Cage in this movie to me. His hair had a very Nicolas Cagean flair.
How about that young Alec Baldwin?
I mean, he's a charmer.
He's a good-looking guy.
There were moments in the film where you could have had that gravity where they're talking about like them not having kids. And like that could have been a moment where they were kind of setting it up where it's just like, okay, they didn't have kids because they can, or like, you know, there could have been some gravity there, and they just kind of like, oh, well, maybe we can try.
Yeah, it is. I love him abandoning all that shit and just turning his back on anything that would normally root your interest. He's just like, I don't care.
He's just in it for fun, man, doing some creativity. A lot of stop motion at the end, like a lot of stuff that we come to associate with Tim Burton. I don't remember in Big Top, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, is there a lot of stop motion stuff in that movie?
Oh, well, there's some really great stop motion stuff.
Which sequences?
There's Large Marge.
Oh, right.
There's a great Large Marge. There's some dinosaurs.
Because I know Frankenweenie was his first thing, right? The little short he did that got him.
Yeah, but Frankenweenie isn't stop motion. He did Vincent, which was a short film about Vincent Price.
Yeah.
With a little boy who's obsessed with Vincent Price, which is all stop motion. So he started in animation.
But his first feature was Pee-wee, right?
Yeah.
And then this was his second, third?
Second.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. All right. I think this came out right after Pee-wee, then Batman. He gets Batman off of two features.
Yeah.
And then
Smokes Batman.
Edward Scissorhands, Batman 2,
etc. And what about, sorry, if you, this may be reductive and boring to the listener, but where was Michael Keaton at in this year?
He was Mr. Mom.
That was it.
Yeah, basically. I mean, like, you know, I don't know, whatever else stuff from the late 80s, maybe there was like, maybe the Dream Team came out by this point. Matt might know. Do you know anything else besides Mr. Mom and the Dream Team?
I mean, Mr. Mom was the big one.
He did like Clean and Sober.
Because he was like on that track with Tom Hanks, right? Where he like almost did Splash, but he didn't.
Right.
So he did Mr. Mom instead of Splash. So he was on that like.
Do you know? Wait, are you saying that like Matt just said Michael Keaton did Mr. Mom instead of Splash? Are you being literal, or do you just mean like they're the same kind of thing?
Like I'm being literal. Like
oh
I'm,
really?
Like I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's true. Yeah. Like I know that he and Tom Hanks were like the same, you know, thing.
Yeah.
I think Keaton actually chose Mr. Mom over Splash for some reason or something.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. But yeah, so they diverged in that way. And
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know that Splash would have turned Michael Keaton into Tom Hanks in any particular way, but like they're different guys. But and I do know that he did anyway. So
Tom
that's
Hanks also turned down Super Mario Brothers, guys. He was going to play Mario.
Can you believe that?
What?
Yeah, he was attached for $5 million, and then the producer said he's not famous enough to justify $5 million, and they fired him.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they hired Bob Hoskins.
That's
anyway. Last episode. Don't worry about it. I thought Matt might want to know that.
Whoa!
Yeah, you just blew Matt's mind.
I did. I see it. His head's exploding.
He's smoking.
I went in a deep Super Mario Brothers hole.
Well, that would have ruined Tom Hanks possibly.
Yeah, he may not have been pre-Forrest
killed
Gump.
Bob Hoskins.
Now, I mean, he might be president.
Oh, interesting. He would have gone the Ronald Reagan route. How bad do you guys miss Gina Davis just in the world?
I really do.
Yeah.
I miss her so really bad. Do. I was watching this movie being like, you're the greatest.
She's
like,
great.
She's so good. And she's, you know, I remember her from this and, you know, Thelma Louise and League of Their Own. Like, she was awesome. Did she? And she just kind of stopped making
she
movies?
She kind of just stopped making movies, as far as I can tell.
Fucking Rennie Harlan. Thanks a lot.
Ruined everything.
I do know, miss. You know, isn't it cool that she's like a genius, right?
Yeah, she's supposed to be super, super smart. Like 170 IQ or some crazy
right,
shit.
Right, right.
Really?
Yeah.
She's like the famous thing with her is that she's in Mensa. How about that?
I mean, this, well, tune in here for good
the
trivia.
Gina Davis. But
Genius Davis.
Anyway, yeah, I really do miss her. I think she's great. I bet she'd be a really great, I don't know how old she is now, but I bet she'd be an awesome, like, older actress. Like, she could do some really cool
striking
stuff.
Face, I'm sure, too. I love Catherine O'Hara, like, on a deep level. Like, all of Christopher Guest's films I love her in Home Alone. Like, I love all this stuff. By the end of I found her very funny in this film. By the end of this film, I was kind of topped out on Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, funny.
Did you feel that way, or did you
she's got a thankless character. She's got one
note. It's not much to do.
It was really one note.
But she came out swinging on that one note, and so by the end of the movie, you're kind of like, eh.
Well, I was watching with fascination the dance scene.
It's,
the Deo scene.
It goes on for
it goes on for a very long time, and all it was like, it's like the greatest making of itself scene, because like, you're watching this, and I kept thinking like, what's going on in that lady's mind? Like, what's going on in fucking Dick Cavett's mind? Like, they're all doing these dumb things, and like, some of them are better at it than others.
Yeah.
Catherine O'Hara and Jeffrey Jones are clearly the best at it, because they're the most kind of broad and hilarious. But like, the guy playing Otho, like, it's such a hard scene to do, because they have to be goofy and lip sync to the song, and then look like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And some of them are horrible at it, and some of them are good at it. She's great at it. Like, that's a fun, perfect assignment to give Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, she nails it.
It's like, do that.
I just, you know, and Christopher Guest kind of used her the best out of any director, I feel like, but I can't help but feel that Catherine O'Hara never quite found her breakout role to become.
Yeah,
she
you're really
been.
Right. Yeah, she's,
like, she never found it.
That's actually,
she's so talented.
You are so right.
But if you think about Catherine O'Hara, you probably think of a mashup of Guffman and Best in Show. It's probably maybe a little bit of Best of Home Alone.
I think of Home Alone. I mean,
you definitely think of Home Alone.
That's the one that for me just became iconic, only because of Home Alone was Home Alone. But like, it's not where she's at her best. But you're so
there's
right. She deserved a way larger career, and I wonder if she avoided it. I wonder if she only wanted to work with the people that she wanted to work with.
I don't know.
Is she been? Can you think of a truly terrible movie that Catherine O'Hara is in?
For I mean,
we probably haven't.
Okay,
seen
but that's
it.
Christopher Guest. Yeah. I mean, forget that. I just mean, like, did she take paycheck gigs?
No, I don't think she ever. I mean, maybe she didn't. Sean's right. Maybe we never saw it.
No, maybe she's just living off the royalties from Home Alone, which played every single day of our lives on TV.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm looking her up right now. You
do
guys
it.
Carry on.
I really love her. I've always sort of loved her. I think she adds to every scene she's in. She's a team player. She's an ensemble cast member. Like, she's great. But by the end of this film, I'm getting a little maudlin about Catherine O'Hara, but I felt bad for her at the end of this movie.
I didn't feel bad for her because, like, it's their disjointed reaction to the ghosts in their house that, like, propel this strange plot. It's basically her, because Jeffrey Jones is, like,
not
you know,
doing a whole lot. He's doing his best, but.
Well, I mean, he's given, like, the shittiest hand to play in the movie, which is just, like, I just want to be left alone.
Yeah.
Which.
You know what a great motivation for a character is? Let me sit in my office by myself. It's a great driver for a character.
And don't move.
Yeah, right. What do you want in the scene? I want to sit here and be left alone. Cool, play that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, I mean, I don't want to go here necessarily, but it's hard to watch Jeffrey Jones, you guys.
Go there.
Yeah, please. Why is it hard to watch?
You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
No.
Because he was busted for kiddie porn.
What?
He's okay. Like a kiddie porn.
We're just, I'm just learning about this.
This just took a turn. Wait.
Yeah, Jeffrey Jones was
exposit
like,
this for us.
Caleb. I don't know much more than that. Except
you know,
that, like, they found,
in the room,
like,
you know the most about kiddie
they,
porn in movies. I mean, no, you always have the trivia here.
This was like, you know, Pee-wee got sort of, Paul Rubens got busted, you know, obviously for being in an adult movie theater, exposing himself in an adult movie theater. Who cares about that? And then right around the time they tried to bust Paul Rubens for child pornography, because he owned a bunch of vintage sort of kitsch erotica, And he has vehemently denied and been terrified by that. Geoffrey Jones, right around the time of Deadwood, or maybe just before Deadwood, was arrested with stashes of kiddie porn.
Like lots?
I don't know how much, but like enough that, and he did not like deny it. He was like busted. And so it's like tough for me to watch these movies and even Ferris Bueller and be like, ooh.
Yeah, I don't like that. I didn't know that.
All right. Yeah. The Dark Knight was hit.
Yeah.
I look back on this and I have that in my head.
People tune into this podcast for heartbreaking news. This is what we really want to know, the details of the sordid past of the world.
That said, he's very good.
He's fine. He's fine. Yeah. He's very competent in this film. I think he's great in general, but he's competent in this film. Catherine O'Hara is doing her goddamn best to bring something.
You know, the more we talk about it, the more I just love her performance in this. And, like, she's so funny.
She's great. Sean, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
If this movie came out tomorrow and you went and saw it, what do you think compared to what you think now? How much of this movie is, like, a nostalgic, like, oh, movies have other things they can do? Because Tim Burton was expanding what movies could do, I would argue, in this point in time in history, like, on a mass release scale. So how much of this is you just loving what it was when it came out?
I'm trying to think of a movie that's just fun that's come out recently. Like,
besides in Fate of the Furious, you mean? Besides that.
It's a good one.
Sorry, Caitlin.
It's a good one.
I don't share your enthusiasm, but that movie is not fun like this is fun.
Did you see it?
Bold claim, sir.
I'm not going to see it.
There's a lot of stop motion with Vin Diesel that's really good.
I kind of know what you mean, but answer the real question he's asking, which is if you went to the theater and saw Beetlejuice and it was brand new and you didn't know who this guy Tim Burton was, what would you think?
I don't think I would enjoy it as much as I did today.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I agree too.
But that, I feel that's a weird question to ask, and obviously it's the basis of this podcast. Yeah.
I thought you wanted the format, Sean. We're doing the fucking format for you, Sean.
But I don't feel it's fair to put that on
it. It's not fair. I mean, you can never hold this movie up. You can't hold movies that were made 20, 30 years ago up to as if it were came out today. I mean, we have a huge amount of post history to process and think about.
Also, it's of its time in terms of what it's doing. The stuff it's doing has been aped, you know, countless times since. Yeah. But I do think that it moves at a different pace than modern films.
Yeah.
And it's more. I'll say, you know, I know Roger Ebert didn't like this movie very much. Mm-hmm. He gave it like 2 stars or 2.5 stars. I think that might have been kind of in some ways the general consensus is like that was a little weird, but not very good. You know, promising stuff.
Yeah.
And
was that a Robert Ebert impersonating?
Was that a Rod? No.
You should hear Caitlin impersonating himself. It's pretty good.
He's been doing it recently today. But I think that's the right. I do think that's basically the right assessment if you're just looking at it cold. Now, if you look at it through the lens of history, it goes up. It just notches up. Like, yeah, that's an important thing to think about and talk about. I mean, we saw it as kids, and you know, we have a lower standard for movies. But like now, watching it as an adult, I like this movie better than I would if he didn't have a career I value. You know.
There's moments, this may be a contentious thing, I'm prepared to be attacked here. There's moments where I think it's brilliant, but Michael Keaton's performance is not difficult or exceptional for a lot of the film, in my opinion. Anyone want to fight with me about that?
What do you mean, difficult? Difficult?
I mean, there's not necessarily a lot of amazing choices, amazing comedic moments, you know, anything especially out of the box in terms of how that thing might be written on the page. I think there's moments of him bringing stuff to it, maybe like 6 or 7 moments. I'm like, oh, that's fucking genius. That choice was fucking great. But generally, it's not an exceptional performance, in my opinion.
I think it's exceptional.
Yeah.
I know it's considered to be that.
It's exceptional because, you know, what other character is written that's just like totally crazy? I mean, there
that's
are plenty,
the thing, though. It's written that way.
Yeah.
That's not Michael Keaton.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, but he anybody
would
deliver.
Nobody would play this way.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Michael Hanks wouldn't have done this.
Michael Keaton played this in a totally crazy key, where he obviously brought a lot to it.
How much of is Tim Burton, though?
Not much.
You don't think Tim Burton was
hell no. This isn't Tim Burton's kind of humor. Like, this is another match of personality.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, that's, it's the same thing. Like, Tim Burton didn't make Pee-wee. You know what I mean? Like, that was Paul Rubens. And I believe this is very similar. This is Michael Keaton is Beetlejuice. And he brings hilarious stuff. Like, there's... What's he say? What's the line that... The early line that killed me, maybe the funniest thing in the whole movie, is when he says something like... He says, like, come on down, I'll eat anything, I'll swallow anything, I'll chew your dog, or I'll bite your dog, or something. Yeah, and it's totally psychotic.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way that shit was written. Like, that's so crazy. Yeah. And that's Michael Keaton just going wild.
Catherine O'Hara had a bunch of vamp lines, too, you could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that's fair, and if he brought a lot of that. I was surprised how revolutionary and interesting it felt when I watched it previously in my life, and how... like pretty good it was this time for me. I wasn't like really sucked.
Do you think
in
that's a
that
case
movie.
Of being it's being too familiar? Like,
maybe. I mean, maybe it is.
I love in this movie, which I, you know, is vaguely. I really tried to imagine for part of this, like, what would it be like to watch that movie for the first time in a theater? And you're sitting there, and it's like, oh boy, this is like a pretty up until let's say up until he blows out of the coffin. Mm-hmm. Honestly, you're like, okay, like this is kind of dumb. Looks cool once in a while. Like there's some interesting effects on the dead people, but that's not that unfamiliar from, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street or like 80s horror or whatever. So like you're like going along with it and you're like, okay, this guy has some talent. That sequence in the dead, you know, in the afterlife is sort of cool looking. But then this guy comes up and it is a totally different tone than what the movie has established. He just becomes a Looney Tunes character who's pervy, who's disgusting, who's crazy, who does these wild voices. You know, who snaps into this sort of, you know, I'm from Juilliard character and rolls right into head spinning. It's pretty crazy. Mm. And I really think that was, I thought it was like it suddenly brought the whole film to life. I was like, oh,
for
yeah,
sure.
Here
but
we go.
By 45 minutes in, we're hoping for something. It's like a spark of life to come into this film, no doubt.
And he does, but it's not like you could just do anything. Like you could, like that could be the point where someone's like, I'm out. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're watching that movie and somebody comes on and does something psycho and dumb and it's not working,
to denigrate the line he's walking, because I do recognize there's a line to be walked here tonally. And if he brought all this, then kudos to him. But I do wonder how much of this is just on the page and then Tim Burton sort of giving direction. But, you know, maybe it's him. I feel you. I just wasn't as impressed by the performance as I remember being.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, oh, man, Michael Keaton's so fucking crazy and good.
I don't think that shtick plays to adults. Like, they made a kids TV show this movie, which I remember watching as a kid. Mm. And it was, I mean, very PG. Like... as crazy as Beetlejuice was, like, all his motivations, you know, become PG.
I'm so glad you said that, man, because that was... I'm not even sure I agree with you, but it's a great way to talk about this, is this movie plays better, probably, you're right, for kids. Do you think they made it for kids, or does that line just not exist in the 80s?
I mean, you guys ask this question a lot on
the
show.
It's coming up a lot, actually. Well, it's becoming more relevant the more the podcast goes on, actually.
It's a weird question because, you know, who is this movie made for? Like, are you guys really going to know? Like, these guys just threw money at everything and they wanted to just make these weird projects. Like, I don't think they knew what audience...
Yeah, but they wanted to make money. So yeah, who did they think was going to pay for the ticket?
They made money. I mean...
Well, but from who?
Yeah,
adults?
I mean, they made toys. I had these toys. Like,
but don't you think I'm contending that they discovered that after making the movie. So they made this movie, which was this crazy thing, and they thought, well, this will be like a fun sort of pseudo-adult dark comedy.
If it was that, I think he would have been pervier. There's not a lot of pervy. There's like 3 or 4 pervy moments that aren't crazy. Like, he would have been like, fuck this, fuck that.
He goes to a whorehouse, he grabs his crotch, he says, great fucking model.
But if you're a kid, you don't understand necessarily what the whorehouse is doing.
I guess not, except for the fact that in the subsequent video releases, like this, like, I'll say this. They put out Beetlejuice in a clamshell case, eventually, which is for kids. Warner Brothers, you know, they adopted the Disney model of clamshell cases for kids' movies. They put this out that way. In that cut, the one they put out in the clamshell, they deleted the scene where he says, nice fucking model, and grabs his crotch. It's gone. That's probably the first one I ever saw.
But that's the craziest part of the film in terms of adultness.
But isn't that... Yeah. All I'm saying is when they did that, didn't they think like, ooh, we slightly missed shot. This is a movie for kids.
But I think they had to know that going in because there's only 1 or 2 moments. Spaceballs has a fuck in it, too. You know what I mean? Like, they were willing to take
shots.
That's
not a kid's movie either, though.
No, but it's well,
kids' movie. Kids
it was,
like it because
yeah,
kids
it was,
are dumb and
but,
it sucks.
But my
like,
parents were very aggressive about which movies I saw and didn't see, and I was allowed to see that as a child. It was pitched, at least to my family, and my family thought it was a kid's
film. I think if you call something a comedy, you get way more leeway than like whether or not it's a movie for kids or a movie for adults. Like, you're just trying to make jokes.
Yeah.
I feel like you point, I mean, totally, it's a comedy. There's no moment where like you're trying to
go for a serious
beat. Yeah, go for any serious beats, because the movie rejects them. In serious moments, it also plays with their death, every single thing. You know, the jokes they do make can't be for kids. You can't say it reads like stereo instructions. Like, that's an adult joke. There's so many adult jokes. I mean,
I think this happens to a lot of 80s movies. They didn't make movies for kids in the 80s. So this feels to me like a movie that's not good enough to be an adult classic. So it's a kids movie. And we love it in a sort of nostalgic sense. But I would compare this again to Pee-wee, which is that Pee-wee is a great movie. Yeah. And it's perfectly wonderful and extraordinary for adults now. Like, that doesn't, but kids like it too. Like, Beetlejuice doesn't succeed as an adult movie. So it's a kids movie. So they make a cartoon and they cut out the word fuck. Fuck you, Beetlejuice. I win.
Sean's thinking about it. Sean's giving it some serious thought.
I mean, I think they're just trying to sell more Beetlejuice toys. And they get to do that if it's a kids movie, if it's a cartoon, if you cut out the fuck.
Yeah, maybe that came in after. I mean,
I mean, he's talking about after.
Yeah,
they
but I know.
They didn't make it.
So your supposition is that when it was made, it was just, let's make the funniest, weirdest movie we can make?
I mean, tonally, they hit the comedy beat. There's no sappy, there's no, like, the fun moments, and I think the majority of the jokes, those are adult jokes. Right. Like, you're not, you don't make the stereo joke. There's too many adult jokes.
Well, they're suicide jokes.
Yeah. Those aren't for kids.
Right. Suicide jokes, colon, not for kids. We've learned something on this podcast.
Are we good?
I feel good. Sean, wait, first of all, Sean, what's your deal, man? Like, you never even told us what your deal is. Who the fuck are you, Sean?
Well, I had the pleasure of being on the Film Hall with Kalen. That was our introduction. We made a handful of short movies
That's
together.
That's true.
You made movies with Kalen Egan?
We should have talked more about that.
Yeah, we skipped over all this shit I was thinking about. Let's just give us some biographical deets.
Biographical deets. I mean, the movies I made with Kalen, I look back and think of fondly.
Better than Beetlejuice? True or false?
No, none of the movies we made together are better than Beetlejuice. Nice.
But Sean did produce my 90-minute opus.
Mm.
Long Gone Daddy.
Yeah, the poster of which sits behind us.
It's somewhere in here. There it is. Packed up in bubble wrap.
Yep.
Still, it's been in bubble wrap for...
Well, would you hang that up?
I would have.
And what are you up to now?
Nothing on the walls.
True story. Nothing on the walls.
Well, we're having some mildew problems down here.
Right now...
TMI. We're in a nice, high-end recording studio, everybody.
Yeah, with mildew problems.
Okay. What are you doing now?
I run a construction company and a design build firm with one Greta Hansen.
Amazing.
The quiet Greta Hansen.
This is going to be contentious given how well-dressed Matt Robinson is right now. But you might be our best-dressed guest. You look very nice today.
Oh, that's true. Really? Well, he's silky smooth, baby. That's
right. I got this is clearly concrete on these pants.
It's cool, man. It gives you a little masculine
also,
edge.
Also, look at what he's wearing. He came from the beach.
I don't California well. I know I grew up here, but...
He's got a long-sleeve button-down shirt and slacks on, you guys.
These are jeans. Audience, slacks. This is jeans.
They're not denim, so they're slacks. In the South,
covered
those
in concrete.
Count as slacks. Anyway, Matt Robinson, you look nice, too.
Thanks, Travis.
So should anyone look up your construction company?
No, no one should look up my construction company.
Okay.
Although, you know, we work with fun projects and fun brands, and
look them up, guys.
They don't need any
follow them on Twitter. Follow them on Twitter and Facebook. They have a mean Instagram account.
Yeah,
you guys. You'll love it.
Your audience should watch, you know, your guys' work, which I'm very excited to see. You guys have been teasing at it.
Oh,
and you've
yeah.
been giving your audience
we should throw an
very
update.
Little. Very little.
So here's the update. We're actually recording some of these episodes in advance because I'm going to go live in Chicago for a month. Travis is going to visit me for a week of that month in order to produce this show that we wrote. So we're going to start shooting.
It's going
to
be great.
On May 31st. So mark your calendars.
Yeah.
And wish us luck.
A real budget TV show.
Send your prayers.
It's true.
True.
$1 million.
That's great.
Approximately.
We could shoot features for that. Sean, one more question for you. Is there anything... You've been a loyal listener to the podcast, and we thank you for that.
I probably shouldn't say what the budget is.
I wish
I'm
going to
delete that.
Yeah, I was... I thought... I can't believe he said that. I really... When you said it, I was like, I can't believe he just said that. You should just bleep it. That'll be funny because now I'll be wondering what it is. Anyway, guys, it's enormous. We're shooting an enormous budget TV show. So we could shoot 12 features for the amount of money they're giving us for this episode. Sean, to close out here.
How many Long Gone Daddies could we shoot for that number?
12,000.
Yeah.
Sean, so as a long-term listener, and thank you for that, to the podcast, is there anything you want to litigate right now that's that really bugged you that you want to challenge us on or compliment us on or just say, what the fuck were you guys thinking? Because you can, I'm giving you the floor to fucking hammer us
that
right
is
now.
That is loaded.
I know. Yeah, I'm just giving him a shot.
I appreciate the opportunity. Yeah. There are very few...
Because fuck you in advance.
There are very few, you know, what the fuck, guys. But... Yeah, well. What I enjoy so much about the podcast is you guys are honest with your opinions. You're not trying to, like, you know, protect anyone's feelings, especially each other's, which I guess is
hold on. This is becoming a backhanded review, Sean.
No, I like it. I think it's right. Totally right.
You know, you guys have a great repartee.
Kalen's meaner than I am, though. He's... Kalen's very aggressive, and I feel like I'm a warm bath.
No,
but when you're right, you can be a little meaner.
That's what I'm talking about, that right there. That's the Egan special.
The way I see it is you're just playing sweet, and Kalen has to dig into you.
I can't play sweet.
He doesn't have it in him.
I just can't do it.
But is there no episode that you're like, you guys fucking missed the boat, that stands out? I don't mean to put you on the spot here. Oh, you can say no. But
you know, I mean, I think you guys would agree with it. The Big Lebowski episode...
Fuck you, Sean.
Well,
Jesus Christ. You know, this is our guest.
Sorry.
He said fuck you to this guy like 10 times in this 1 hour.
He said I was sweet. I'm going to fuck him up.
You know, you're right. What could you have said about Big Lebowski? It was a very hard episode. It's not like, and you guys tried to re-examine, like, the format and, that was a struggle. But there are so many other great episodes. I really love Chasing Amy. You know, I think you guys maybe needed a woman in the room, but did a great job with that one.
We need a woman in the room on every episode.
Well, we have a woman here. We've told her to be quiet, which is about our par for the course with our podcast.
But I do actually have something to say.
Say it.
Hit it.
When we're ready.
Well, that's all the time we have. Let's shot. Why don't you pull it? All right.
I'll say it. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice!
Whoa! All right, Sean, you are up. You get to pull from the magic bag. Describe how eloquent this bag is for us.
Yeah. Just silky smooth as that voice.
Audience, it is just a plastic Ziploc bag. You can see the titles.
I'm going to bleep that, too. I'm going to go bleep crazy on this
episode. Fucking every guest is really sad about our bag.
Don't look when you reach in if you have a problem with it.
You just
reach in. Oh, Greta's reaching in. Yes, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
You've outsourced.
Ooh, she's really doing a number on that bag. Greta, announce it to the mic what we're watching next week.
This is a movie I have never seen.
Surprise.
Called Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's a big one.
That is a really important episode.
This is a big deal, guys.
Way to go, guys.
Well done, Greta Hansen. Thanks, Sean.
Never heard of it? Oh, fuck. Sean, you're really failing your responsibilities here.
No wonder you got out of movies and you're into construction.
Yeah. You don't know Return of the Jedi.
See y'all next time on Does Your Favorite Movie Suck, where we find out if Return of the Jedi sucks.
Oh, Does Your Favorite Movie Suck.
Too bad.